I just want to thank Jay and Pam for having me come this Sunday. It's just good to be with everybody and to see everybody. And boy, I'm just really excited. Amen. And if you have your Bibles, if you did not receive a handout of notes this morning, just go ahead and raise your hand and the ushers will make sure that you get one. Praise God, there's a couple of you. Let's turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. That was a great time of worship, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. How many know heaven's here? How many know Jesus is here? Amen. And thank the Lord. Mark chapter 4. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the service today. God, we're so glad to be here. We thank you for your presence in this building. We thank you for your presence in our heart. God, we thank you for your manifest presence. Lord, that you're with your people, that you never leave us nor forsake us. God, we thank you for the word of God this morning. And we look to the Holy Spirit to teach us and to lead us and to guide us. And Father, give us ears to hear. Lord, we open up our heart and our spirit to you this morning. And Father, we're going to believe today that we're going to receive from you, God. And we give you all the glory and all the praise. And everyone says,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. Well, got a little story for you. How many are ready for a story? A husband, probably at his midlife age, went to see a doctor. He says, doctor, I'm having a hard time with my wife. I'm having a hard time convincing her that she has a hearing problem. And I don't know what to do. And the doctor says, I know exactly what you need to do. How many know doctors are good? He says, when you go home, open the door and immediately say, honey, what's for supper? And if she doesn't respond, move closer to the kitchen. And say it again, honey, what's for supper? And if she still doesn't hear you, then move into the kitchen and whisper in her ear, honey, what's for supper? So he goes home. He's in his car. He's just overjoyed. This is going to work. She's going to get the help she needs. And we're going to have a good life, good marriage. So he walks in the door and says, honey, what's for supper? Nothing. Moves a little closer to the kitchen. Honey, what's for supper? Nothing. So he moves towards the kitchen. He sees her leaning against the counter. And he whispers in her ear, honey, what's for supper? And she turns to him face to face. And she says very sternly, honey, you've asked me 3 times what's for supper. We're having meatloaf. How many know we need to hear? That works in my house. But let's look at Mark chapter 4. The title of the message this morning is, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Are you ready? And Jesus speaking, and again he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. And then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching. And he says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell on the wayside. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded what? No fruit or no crop. Verse 8, but other seed fell on the good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And in verse 9, he said to them, he who has ears to hear, what? Let him hear. Now, this is a very familiar portion of scriptures to many of you. And you'll see in your notes that it's also given in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. And then again in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. Let me just read this introduction. Oftentimes, Jesus spoke in parables. The gospel records some 60 different parables of Jesus, most of which are found in Matthew and Luke, and fewer in Mark, and there are none in John. It has been estimated that at least a third of Jesus' recorded teaching is found in the parables. Now listen, this is what a parable is. A parable has come to be defined as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The word parable in the Greek means a placing of one thing beside another with a view to comparison. And so what is the purpose of a parable? Let me give you these first two things here. It says to reveal certain teaching to those who are on the inside. Write that on your notes. Purpose of a parable is to reveal to those that are on the inside. And the second reason is to, we'll see here, letter B. It says to conceal certain teachings from those on the outside. The doctor told his parents, he says, he is not hard of hearing. He's just not what? He's not listening. Anybody have that problem? How many men do we have here today? How many of your wife have ever said you don't know how to listen? If you were honest, you would say amen, right? And Jesus, this whole story, this parable is not so much about the different kind of grounds of our hearts. It's not just about the goodness of God. How many know God gives? And you'll see the seed that was sown on the wayside. The Bible says that the birds, the fowls of the air, came and took that seed away. And we'll find out later on that those birds represent Satan, his kingdom. And how many know God gives, but the devil takes? Amen. Amen. God never takes. God is always giving. That's his nature. That's his character. But it's the devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I want to help you this morning. I want to bless you. And because we're not always hearing what we need to hear. How many know Jesus said many times throughout the New Testament, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And how many know the Spirit of God is working in your life 24/7? But you may not always be aware of it. He'll want to speak to you about your life personally, what's going on inside of you. He'll want to speak to you about your marriage. He'll want to speak to you about, you know, being a young person and young people. Right? And the Spirit of God wants to speak to you about your life, your goals, your purposes, your plans. The Spirit of God wants to speak to you about your job and how you conduct yourself, your attitude, and how you're living for God. And see, he's a helper. John 14, John 16, the Holy Spirit's come to be your helper, to be an aid to you. Thank God for that. I mean, you don't have to go, wake up, Holy Spirit. I'm ready to listen. He's always there. The Bible says that God never sleeps nor slumbers. But you know, you can be in a crowded room and not hear anything, and everybody just talking, and it's a roar. How many know that? And but listen, if we want to be successful in life, how many want that? If we want to be successful in our Christian walk, if we want to have successful churches, and we all want that, God wants that, then we got to learn how to hear. But Jesus takes it to another level in hearing. It's not just hearing, is it? But it's understanding. And see, that's the key of this parable. Jesus says that to keep on hearing so that you understand what he's saying. How many know it can go right in one side of your head and outside the other, and you're just totally oblivious to what's been said? How many have been in a service when Pastor Jay is preaching or someone's teaching, and man, this thought just comes into you, and all of a sudden, you're somewhere out in space. How many like that ride? You know, just something comes in, and man, you have to reach to your neighbor and say, well, what was that fill-in-the-blank answer? How many have done that? And see, if we start to think about it, we see how difficult it is to keep our attention, amen, and to keep focused on what God is saying to us in a service, in our own devotional life, our time with God, listening to tapes in the car. How many know the devil is just right there to steal the word of God? And see, that's his mission, is to steal God's word from your life. But how many know that you don't have to let him? 1 Peter 5:8 says the devil goes about seeking whom he may devour. How many know that scripture? So he's looking, he's seeking, he's desiring it. But that doesn't mean he's going to be successful. If he's going to be successful, it's because of what you do with what you hear. Amen. Now, I've been challenged with my hearing for just as, you know, since I was walking. And I know what it's like to really have to focus and to hear what people are saying. But you know, God has given you spiritual ears, spiritual eyes. And that he wants you to see and to understand and to perceive and to know what he's saying to your life. And what he is sowing. The Bible says, if we go on and read this, the sower went to sow the word of God. How many know that seed that's being planted is the word of God? Praise the Lord. Look at your notes. So the parable wants to reveal teachings to those who are inside and to conceal the teaching from those on the outside. And then he said, the doctor said he's not hard of hearing, he just isn't listening. How many know that the best part of communication is listening? You have a men's conference coming up, I guarantee they're going to talk about communication. My wife has said sometimes our challenges in our family, we have a communication problem. We have a breakdown, Houston. It's not getting through. Can't you hear what I'm saying to you? Yes, very loud. But it's not registering in here. Amen? And so when we're really hearing, it brings a change in our life. If there is no change, then are you really hearing? Are you really perceiving what God is saying? Because how many know it's all about change? And change, as Ed Cole would say, is not change until it's change. So don't fool yourself. Well, I heard perfectly what you said. But our actions, what? Show otherwise. How many know what I'm talking about? Some people seem to prosper in the things of God, and others don't, or not like they should. The truth is, God wants all of his people to succeed. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it there day in and day out, right? It should just be a part of you. And he goes on to say, and you shall prosper wherever you go. You shall succeed in life because the word of God is a priority in your life. This is a word church, is it not? Well, every good gospel-believing church should be a word church. How else do we grow spiritually without the word of God? Not religion, not politics, amen, not philosophy, not a feel-good message, but the word of God is what causes you to grow. It's a seed planted in your heart. Peter says it's an incorruptible seed. You cannot destroy it. Amen. Well, God's not doing anything in my life. It's just not working. I feel like a failure. I feel messed up. I don't even feel like going to church sometimes. Say amen. But you know what? God's word is an incorruptible seed in your heart, and it cannot be destroyed. But you need to nurture that seed, water that seed, allow that seed, because there's a power contained in God's word that will bring forth fruit in your life. God's word will change you. Amen. God's word will make you the better person you need to be in Jesus. Praise the Lord. The parable of the sower explains why and how some people succeed or fail in the Christian life. And listen, as we look at this four grounds of the heart this morning, sometimes we look at this parable as a very evangelistic tool. The word goes out, some seed falls on hard ground, stony ground, right, thorny ground, and some good ground. And we'll see this as we read. And there are different types of heart in the world. But how many know we never stop hearing the word of God after salvation, right? Amen. We never stop. We keep hearing. But you know, sometimes there's parts of our life that are still hard. There's still parts of our life still stony. There's parts of our life that are still filled with thorns. And there's hopefully more of good ground in our life than there was a year ago. But see, this can apply to both areas of our life. Sometimes when someone's preaching, you don't know who's hard and dealing with things because of life. You don't know who are dealing with the cares and anxieties of life and fretfulness and frustrations. You don't know for sure who are all good ground. But listen, if the seed is going to work in your life, it's got to be good ground. Amen? Got to be good ground. But let's look at what Jesus says about this parable. How many want to succeed? We all do. That's part of being a Christian, isn't it? That we want to be successful. And God's success is different than what the world says is successful. Isn't that true? God says, if you love me, if you obey me, if you trust me, you're being successful. If you follow the Holy Spirit in your life, you're being successful. Doesn't matter what's in your account or not in your account. Amen? Well, look what Jesus says. How many want to listen to Jesus this morning? Well, we left off in verse 9, and he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And so here we even have disciples that had been with Jesus. Says, I don't know what he said. Do you know what he said? How many know God's a good God? So we're all disciples, and sometimes, you know what? I just don't get it. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the revelation that comes to us, and all of a sudden, you know, I got it. I'm getting it. How many are there? Yeah. Isn't that a good thing?
Yeah.
Thank God for the Holy Spirit. See, you're not alone. The Spirit of God is at work in your heart. And he wants to, Jesus says, the mysteries of the kingdom belongs to you.
Amen.
The secrets of the kingdom belong to you. You don't have to be in dark about your Christian walk, your Christian experience, your Christian life. God has a plan. God has a purpose for each and every one of you. Amen. You're not into the dark side. You're in the light side.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. You're in the side that gives revelation and understanding so you can do the will of God for your life. Praise the Lord. Someone just say, preach it. Help me out here. Praise the Lord. Well, look what Jesus said. So the disciples, hey, Jesus, what are you saying? How many know he's merciful? And he'll reveal the mysteries of the kingdom. And one of the key things is we're always hearing, but are we hearing to understand? Are we hearing because we're hungry? Or is it just another message? Or is it just another worship song? Come on. And so he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But when he was alone, verse 10, around him with the 12, asked him about the parable. He says, are you kidding me? No. He said to them, to you has been given to know the mysteries or the secrets of the kingdom of God. But to those who are the outside, remember in the beginning, God wants to reveal to those that are on the inside. And what it means by the inside are those that are hungry to know. And those who are hearing, but they're not hungry, they really don't care, are the ones on the outside. And sometimes we're on the outside because of life, because of discouragement. And we stop listening, we stop hearing, and we get mad at God, we get mad at people, we get mad at pastors. Oop. Amen? We get mad at church, but listen, it's not their fault because we're not hearing and understanding, is it? And so he goes on to explain what the parable means. How many want to know? And he quotes the scripture in verse 12. And he's talking about those on the outside. Seeing, talking about, especially here, about Israel, the Jewish people. They rejected the Messiah. They rejected the Word of God. And even though they may want to know, they really don't because they don't want to have change. They don't want to receive Jesus. They don't want to accept him. They don't want him to be the Lord of their life. They don't want to accept him as Messiah. So seeing, they may see and not perceive. And hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven of them. Luke chapter 8 says that they would be converted. So there is that application of those that are unsaved, but also for us personally if we want change. Verse 13, and it said to them, do you not understand this parable? No. How then will you understand all parables? And so he's going to explain, and this key to this parable will open up the rest of the parables that Jesus teaches about the kingdom parables. He says, if you understand this one, you're going to understand all of them. And so he begins in verse 14, the sower sows the word. And there, these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, who comes along? Satan comes. And look what he says. Immediately, What does he do? He takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. How can that be? One pastor says, you know, when you come to church, Satan is there. The angels are there. The Holy Spirit's there. The body of Christ is there. And see, that word was already sown in the heart, and then Satan came. Amen? He comes with distractions. He comes and gets you focused on yourself, on your problems, and we all have them. And not to belittle that in any shape or form, but Jesus is the answer. He is the way out. But know that the Satan wants to steal the word from your life and to keep you from being productive. And we got to understand that. The Bible says that he comes immediately. And one, Luke says he snatches the word out almost by force. Let's go on. Likewise, the ones are sown on stony ground. And so there is some earth, some depth, not very deep, but under that ground, it's very stony. If you ever lived up in the Adirondacks or up in Wells or Northville, that ground is just, you know, there's just not pebbles in the ground. There's boulders. And if you want to lay a foundation, man, you're going to spend a lot of time pulling boulders out of the ground. Are you hearing me? But the soil is still somewhat good, but it needs to be cultivated. Some stones need to be taken out. And look at this. It says, when they hear the word, listen, in this parable, everyone is hearing. Everyone is hearing on Sunday morning. Everyone is hearing in their home the word of God. And so when they hear the word of God, the Bible says immediately they receive it with gladness. Man, this is great. That's an awesome word. It's speaking to my life. I'm going to experience that. And you receive it with gladness and joy and expectation. He said, man, this is so good. And that's a lot like that on Sunday morning, isn't it? Because it's a good word. Praise the Lord. And so they receive it with gladness. But he says, and they have no root in themselves because the ground is so stony. The soil is so shallow and so endure only for a time. Look at that. Everybody say that with me, for a time. For a time. For a season. It's temporary. That's very important about stony ground. They have no root. How many know if a tree does not have any roots? This is basic 101. If it has no roots, it cannot what? Cannot grow, cannot stand the test of time, of wind, the rains, right? You all understand that, right? So it has no roots. And it says this, and afterwards when tribulation, John 16:33, Jesus says, in this world you're going to have trials. Oh, don't say that verse. Give me a good verse. You're going to have persecution. Well, I live in America. Well, you wait. Some persecution in America is just what you don't see. It's materialism. Right? And so because of trials and persecution arises, and look what he says here, for the word's sake. Not because you're a good Christian, not because you go to church all the time, not because you pray and intercede, not because you witness, does trials and persecutions come because of the word that's sown in your heart. Well, why would I want to do that? You ever think that? Let's see. Let me add this up. If I allow the word of God to come in my life, and trials and persecution come because of the word's sake? No, thank you. But listen, even though that may be the case and why Satan comes and trials and persecution comes, realize this, it's the word that's going to bring you through. Amen. It's the word that's going to bring you to the other side. And yes, you may have challenges and difficulties, but you know what? You're going to be a better person spiritually. You're going to be more bearing fruit in your life because of the word of God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So don't give up on the word of God in your life. Well, I'm reading. The pastor tells me to read, to study. I'm taking Bible doctrine on Tuesday night and eschatology, and I'm taking all those things, and it's like, man, I'm having brain problems. But listen, if you stay the course and if you're faithful in the things of God, the word of God is going to launch you out. It's going to launch you out into what God has for your life. How many are ready to launch? Yeah. Amen. God's word has proven the test of times for millions of Christians throughout the ages. Isn't that true? Yeah. Of which we are one of them. And God's word will always bring you through. Thank you for those few amens. How many know the word of God in your life is the key? And so they endure for a time. Persecution, trials arise for the word's sake. Immediately, the Bible says here that they what? They stumble. They become offended and fall away. How many know people like that? Amen? And why? Well, it's God's fault. It's the seed, the word of God. It's just wrong. It's Satan's fault. How many know it's not Satan's fault? Because they stumble and they fall away. It's the hearing and the understanding and the being rooted. Listen, the word of God is coming forth in this place and in your life, and what you do on your own, it's for a purpose, isn't it? And for you to be Christ-like, for you to be all that what God wants you to be. God's word has the power to shape and mold you and transform you. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Be transformed by the pot trust dinner. Be ye transformed by the worship. Now be ye transformed by the word of God. The word of God does that. Turn to your neighbor and say, the word of God does that. Hallelujah. Well, let me give you some of these fill in the blanks here. We got to move along here. So Jesus is sharing four ways God's word is heard. And must be heard to be heeded. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 17. How can anyone hear and know unless they are preached? And the word is proclaimed. How can they hear unless it's taught and preached? And it goes on, verse 17. Everyone knows that scripture, that faith comes by hearing. The confidence in God, the believing power in God comes from just hearing. But it means to keep hearing continually. But it also means to hear, perceiving, and understanding. You see, what a problem in church, and probably not in this church, but a lot of churches, is people don't study the Bible anymore. They just hear messages that make them feel good. Right? You know, 48 points on how to simplify your life. That doesn't make sense. Come on. And we brought our Christianity into a bunch of lists and rules and things we try to abide by, and it's just death in us. Yeah. And it's not life, it's just religion. Yeah. God is looking for life in us. Yeah. Amen, is he not? Yeah. Jesus is sharing four ways God's word is heard. Well, we're almost halfway there. Whose fault is the failure of this kind of person? It is not the seed's fault. It is not God's fault. God, what are you doing? I don't know, what are you doing? I asked you first. It is not Satan's fault. He comes in after the failure to understand. You know, sometimes people leave service, I didn't hear, I didn't know what he said. But see, that's why you need to be prayed up when you come to church. That's why you need to leave your cares, your anxieties, your frustrations at the door. You know, they always say when you go to work for a company, don't bring it home with you. Right? Well, don't bring it to church either. That doesn't mean that God doesn't care. That doesn't mean he doesn't want to minister to your needs. But he wants to get you focused so you can receive. There is good ground. A lot of times people don't receive from God because of unforgiveness. She got quiet. Right? Mark 11, 22. Have faith in God. And he goes on a beautiful about what faith is and what faith does and how faith talks. But listen, if there's unforgiveness, forget it. Right? Your heart's got to be right. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And we got to get over being mad at God because it didn't work out the way we thought it should. And we got to stop getting mad at people and churches. And I'm just, you know, talking in general. You know where you are. And God knows when you're disappointed. Well, see, that's just a trap of the devil and discouragement to get you away from the Word of God. How many get discouraged? Amen. Habakkuk chapter 2, I think it is, when it talks about vision, write the vision down that they that read it can run with it. Even though it tarries, wait for it, for it surely shall come to pass. See, God says in Isaiah 55, I think it is 11, that he watches over his word to perform it, and it shall not return void. Praise God. Don't you ever say, God's word is working in me. Let me finish reading the rest of this, and I'll give you the fill in the blanks. Let's go back to Mark 4. How many don't want to stumble when trials and persecution comes? I've been there. I know what that's like. And you just feel like giving up. And the devil will just lie to you and say, it doesn't work. Being a Christian doesn't work. But God says, if you work it, it'll work for you. If you hear and if you perceive and understand and know the Word of God, it'll work for you 100% of the time. Hallelujah. Verse 18, now when these are sown among the thorns, they are the ones who hear the word. Everyone's hearing it. Say, hearing it. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. It didn't just say just riches, but the deceitfulness of riches. And the desire for other things, the lusting for other things, good or bad, enter in and choke the word of God. And it becomes what? How many know 1 John 2:15, we have to deal with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We have to deal with the devil, the world, and the flesh. How many know that? But thank God Jesus has given us something on the inside of us to help us overcome. Right? The Word of God, the Holy Spirit. And so verse 19 is such a good description of America, of Christians. The cares of this world. Anxieties, the frustrations. How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do this? How am I going to go to school and work a job and do all these different things? I'm a single mom. How am I going to do it? And God says in Matthew 6 that he knows what your needs are. Amen? But he says, listen, I know what you're dealing with. But seek first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness, his right way of doing things, and all things will be taken away from you. It's like the guy who says, I was rebelling against God. I lost my home, my wife, my marriage, my kids. And then I finally just said, okay, God, I'll serve you. God didn't take all that stuff away. Are you hearing me? God gives. The devil takes. He just wasn't hearing. He just wasn't understanding. And he just wasn't obeying. Isn't that true? God doesn't take. God gives. God keeps on giving. God is a good God. So the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. In verse 20, but these are the ones sown on good ground. So there's some of our lives that's like a wayside. It's hard. It's packed. In some areas of our life, we're stony. There's rocks. In some of our areas of our life, there's just thorns. We're doing good. We're receiving. We're hearing. But we allow the things of life to choke the Word of God. Can I demonstrate choking or no? How many know what choking means? Right? It means to suffocate. It's like the air just goes right out of you. And see, and it's progressively. You don't see it right away. And what it means is progressively it happens. Little here, little there. Progressively, things start to change. And all of a sudden, it's like, where's Brother Bob? Where's Sister Sue? I don't know. But we need to pray, right? We need to encourage. But sometimes people are suffocating in their Christian walk. And God says it shouldn't be that way. Praise the Lord. Pam, it's 11:48. How many believe in for a miracle? Then make sure you've done it quarter up. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, if God can hold the sun in the sky. Maybe he can, hey, turn the clock back quick. Those that are sown on good ground hear the word. Listen to this. And the Bible says they accept it. They receive it. How many, you know, sometimes churches are like a buffet. I don't want that. No, I don't like that either. Oh, I like that stuff. Healing? Oh, I like healing. Holiness? Oh, no way. Spiritual maturity, faithfulness, loyalty? No, no. Give me some more sugar. How many know if we want to be whole Christians, we have to read the whole Bible to be whole Christians? Praise the Lord. How many know that's true? How many want to be a whole Christian? I didn't mean full of holes, right? But whole and healthy. So they receive the word, they accept it, and the Bible says here that they bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Look at your notes. Number two under letter A, personal failure. Our lack of responsibility in hearing and understanding equals a satanic opportunity. 2 Corinthians 2:11, you don't have that, but Paul talks about the wayward believer who sinned. And 2 Corinthians says that don't hold unforgiveness towards him, lest you give the devil an advantage in your life. Forgive. When we don't forgive, we're giving the enemy an advantage. It's like a wrestling match, and he's pinning you to the ground. He's taking a hold and a way of taking advantage of you. Did I say that right? Okay. Don't let him do that. The real responsibility, according to Jesus, must be placed on the way I hear. The remedy is, can you figure it out? Understanding, which means to bring together, to put together, to take all those pieces of the puzzle and make a picture. To grasp what Jesus is saying in our walk. And that's every time you read the Bible, when you have time with God. God, help me to put this together visually, an image, you know, to know who I am in Christ, to know what belongs to me as a Christian. Letter B. So number five, it says to take effort in hearing stage, which means to do what? Study, notes, ask questions. The rocky place represents the shallow heart. These people make a good start in the Christian life. They're excited about hearing the word of God. Did you get that? Start, excited. But they have no real attachment to Jesus. Little substance, big show. No depth. How many know God says we are to launch out into the deep things of God? And knowing who he is, knowing your Father, knowing God. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, a lot of people, Christians, are, you know, you hear this, they're dating Jesus. Well, I'm going to date him to see if I really want him or not. And if my parents approve. They're not. Amen. Jesus, what are you going to be, fanatical and go to church? Right? We don't date Jesus, do we? Amen. How many know what I'm saying? You know, I'm just... see how he does in my life, if he's going to be good to me or not. If he doesn't, then I'm just going to leave. I'm going to walk. I mean, that's not Christianity. Is it? It's not that, is it? He stumbles and falls away in times of trials and persecution. And so they fail the trial and the persecution test. Well, listen, things are going to happen, church. Amen? But your key, your victory is in God's word. Hearing and understanding, grasping it. Peter says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, the inborn word which is able to save your soul. You got problems up here? What's your answer? More Christian books? Yeah, they help. More CDs and tapes? Yeah, they help. But it's making God's word a part of your life. Amen. Where it becomes one with you. Man, you're just a talking Bible. The word of God flows out of your life. Man, I know your trials you're going through. I know the persecution. But man, you just stand true to Jesus. You just keep loving him no matter what. Praise God. Number five, hurry up and get this message done. Trials are one way believers exercise their spiritual muscle with the word of God. Listen, stuff happens to everybody. But it's not what happens at you, but what happens in you that's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
Isn't that true? And how you use the Word of God in your life. Your Word is the tool that God has given you to help you. Amen. That's a good one. God wants you to use the Word, exercise your spiritual muscles in those trials and tribulations. God wants to do that. And this last part here, the thorny ground here, represents the crowded heart, the cares of this world. Rip this kind of hearer off. How many are tired of just getting ripped off? I mean, if someone just to come in your house and rip you off, you wouldn't say, well, it must have been God's will. I've been such a bad person. That's not the will of God. He doesn't rip people off. The cares of this world rip this kind of hearer off with worry, anxiety, and frustration. Number two, the deceitfulness of riches, the strong desire for other things, robs him of his spirituality. Listen, wealth and riches are not wrong. It's the lie that says this is what's going to make you who you are. The power of money. But what's going to make you who you are is Jesus, the Word of God. Praise the Lord. They choke the Word out of him to suffocate by drowning. The good ground represents the good heart, the heart that hears and continues listening to the Word of God. He understands, and he takes time to put 2 + 2 together. Isn't that true? And see, when you read the Bible, ask questions. When you study the Word of God, just go out, do it, dive into it. Enjoy the Word of God in your life. Oh, I got to read the Word of God again. If I want to be a strong Christian, our attitude, man, I just can't wait. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
Amen. You know what? The more you read the Word of God, the more you're going to be hungry.
Amen.
But when you're away from it, it's just going to seem indifferent to you. And you'll become indifferent and a careless hearer. So he understands. He takes time. And finally, number three, he bears fruit. See, the one that was on thorny ground is trying to produce fruit, but it didn't come to maturity because of the cares of life, deceitfulness of riches, lust for other things, and it started to suffocate the Word of God. Conclusion, be careful how you hear. Say this with me, be careful how you hear. God is speaking for a purpose. The responsibility is on you. And there's a key at the bottom. Number one, communication, listening to God. Comprehension, understanding what God says. Confidence, trusting in what God says. And finally, change, being transformed by what God says. That's a lot of stuff, ain't it? But listen, this is a key to help us in our Christian walk, my walk, my family's walk. Let's have good ground.
Amen.
You know, there's some maybe some stones in your life you got to get rid of today. Amen. I've had a couple boulders. And they're not easy to get out. If you ever try to dig stones out, man, it's hard. It takes sweat. It takes a good shovel. It takes effort to get stones out of your life. Amen? So holiness can reign in you. So faithfulness can reign in you. How many want to get the stones out? Amen? We all do, don't we? How many want to have good ground? And so not only do they understand or hear, but they understand, they perceive, they know, they recognize. And they say, God, just feed me. Let's close our eyes. Friends, just come. Praise the Lord. Amen. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Let's just talk to Jesus right now. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us.
Praise God.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Just thank him right now. God is so good. He sows the seed to everyone. He's no respecter of person. And you may think it isn't coming to you like it should, but God says it is. If you hear, if you choose to understand, if you receive the word. Father, we pray. There's areas of your life this morning that are like the wayside. There's some hard areas. That word is scattered on the ground, but it's not getting into the soil like it should. But just say to Jesus, Jesus, the book of Hosea says to break up the fallow ground until he comes and rain righteousness upon you. Just ask him right now, God, there's some hardness in my life. Could be unforgiveness, bitterness, just challenges with people, personalities. You have a hard time loving somebody. It's just hard. You've been hurt. You've been wounded. You've been offended. And listen, that happens to everyone. I'm just encouraging you this morning, give those offenses to Jesus. Give those things to him. And through that confession, you're breaking up that hardness. And God will come and rain upon you. His righteousness, his goodness. God will pour out his love on you. There may be some stony ground this morning. And there's rocks, there's boulders. And yes, things are happening and you're producing some fruit, but it's not what it should be. There's no depth. There's a shallowness to it. God wants you to go deeper. He wants you to dig out some of those rocks, some of those boulders. You know, even a little pebble, even a little pebble can disrupt your Christian walk. Just a little thing. Song of Solomon says, just the little foxes to spoil the vine. The little things. How we talk. What we think about a person. Negativity. Oh my God, negativity. Negativity. Always negative. Always talking negative. Thinking negative thoughts. God wants you to take that out of yourself. Allow the Word of God to soak you and to cleanse you. Some of us here this morning are just dealing with thorns. They're everywhere I look. Just growing up with the good seed. The cares of life, anxiety, fear, oppression, depression, whatever those thorns are, they're just suffocating you. God wants to set you free from that. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care, all your anxiety upon the Lord because he cares for you. Wherever you are this morning, the deceitfulness of riches. I've got to have money, 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 money. That's all you think about is money, money, money. And listen, God knows money's important, but he doesn't want money to have you. He wants you. And see, God will take care of your needs. God will help you. Cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. God, thank you for good ground this morning. And I'm sure that's a lot of us here, good ground. Well, you know, we need to keep it good ground. We need to cultivate that ground. We need to do the things that's going to cause our hearts to be receptive to the things of God on a continual basis. Father, help us to have good ground where we hear, where we receive. And Father, we bring forth a variety of fruit, some 30, 60, and 100 fold. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How many here this morning would say without a doubt, I know that I'm born again. I know that if I died right now, I would go to heaven and be with Jesus. How many know that 100%? That you know that you're born again. That you know that Jesus lives in your heart. Come on, keep your hands up. There's some hands that are not sure this morning, so it would be wrong. I know it's late, but it would be wrong not to pray and give this opportunity for people to receive Christ into their life. And so they can start being good ground for the Lord to produce his fruit in your life. Every eye closed, every head bowed. And let's say this prayer together. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I recognize today that you are the Son of God, that you created the heavens and the earth. And God, that you love me. And you've shown your love to me by sending Jesus to die on the cross in my place, to take my judgment, to take my penalties. And right now, Father, I open up my heart and I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I thank you, Father, that you forgive me of my sins, that you cleanse me with your blood, that you make me a new person on the inside. And Father, I thank you that I'm your child now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I just want you to come forward at the end of service, and Brother Josh Hughes will meet with you. I'll meet with you. Just some great people here just to pray again with you and to encourage you if you receive Christ for the very first time today. Amen. That's what church is all about. Yes. Being discipled, growing in the things of God, but bringing people to Jesus. Amen. That's what it's all about. Praise the Lord.
That was a wonderful word from Pastor Brent. And I know it's late.
Thank you.
But you know, I believe that he deserves an offering. I believe that we should bless him and bless his ministry. God brought him here this morning, and let's take an opportunity to bless him and let the Lord bless us by our giving. Please just prayerfully consider. Ask the Lord, Father, what do you want me to give? You know, God will surprise you sometimes, all right? Ask him what you want, what he wants you to give. You can make out the checks to AGCC, and we'll give Pastor Brent one check, okay, from all of us. So the ushers are, there's envelopes, I believe, in the front still. You can take an envelope, and just let's bless Pastor Brent, all right? Thank you. And I noticed this morning I forgot to put my, see, I'm so dependent on my husband. He always takes care of our tithe. He does the confession of faith. I just go along with whatever he says to do. So I'll make sure that I put my offering in that I missed this morning in there too. So if the ushers are, we're going to pray first and then we'll go ahead and do that, okay? Father, I just thank you for the opportunity for Pastor Brent to be here today. I thank you for that word that came forth, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that we take that to heart, that we realize how easy it is for the word to get stolen from us. Father, I thank you that you just increase each person here, that they have more of a love and an encouragement for your word, Father God, that it just rise up in them, that they want to read your word, Father. They want to know more of you. They want a closer relationship with you. I thank you for helping them overcome all those things that are hindering, Lord God. And I thank you for blessing them financially with their giving. Thank you for showing them what it is you want them to give. And I thank you for all the blessings you have for each and every one of us. And we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We'll receive the offering. And then I'm going to have Ben close with prayer. Pastor Brent and Linda will be available to pray for people at the end of the service. Andy, bless you. Thank you, because I would have forgotten again. Oh, dear. The simple things in life. All right. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. All right, I want to thank each one of you for being here today. I know you're going to come out being blessed. I want to thank Pastor Brent and Linda again. And I'm going to ask Josh if you can come up and pray with people too. And then Pastor Brent and Linda, if they can pray with people afterwards. And then Ben, you ready to close in prayer? Okay. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hallelujah, God. Jesus. Thank you.
Praise you for what you've done today, God. Thank you, Jesus, for your cross. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood spilled for us. Thank you, Lord. Just praise you today. All God's people say amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Go with God, huh? Love Jesus with all your heart, all your mind, all your spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's be good ground for Jesus. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, we'll be glad to pray with you. God bless you.